Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, April 19th, Pope Francis urges children to foster peace in our war-torn world. Israel carries out a retaliatory strike on Iran, and the Vatican offers breast cancer screening for dozens of homeless women in Rome. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis held an audience on Friday with over 6,000 Italian students connected with the National Network of Schools for Peace. The Network of Schools for Peace was conceived to promote the permanent education for peace and human rights in the curricula of all schools at every level. In his remarks, the Pope asked children to pray for their peers in Ukraine and Gaza and encourage them to be artisans of peace. Christopher Wells reports.
During a lively speech in which he repeatedly called for responses from the boys and girls, Pope Francis made a special appeal to remember other children who are afflicted by war and conflict, especially the children of Ukraine who have forgotten how to smile, and the children of Gaza, gunned down and suffering from hunger.
Pensate ai bambini ucraini. Pensate ai bambini di Gaza.
Pope Francis began his address to his youthful audience by thanking them for their journey full of ideas that aim at promoting a new vision of the world. He thanked them, too, for being full of enthusiasm and for their passionate and generous commitment to working for a better future. The Pope challenged the children to be protagonists and not spectators of the future.
Voi siete chiamati ad essere protagonisti e non spettatori del futuro.
Pope Francis went on to highlight the two key words at the heart of their commitment, peace and care. These two ideas are interconnected, he said, explaining that true peace is not just the absence of violence, but a climate of goodwill, trust, and love that can mature in a society founded on relationships of care. Pope Francis said that in this time still marked by war, I ask you to be artisans of peace.
In questo tempo ancora segnato dalla guerra, vi chiedo di essere artigiani della pace.
In a society still prisoner of the culture of waste, I ask you to be protagonists of inclusion. In a world torn by global crises, I ask you to be builders of the future so that our common home may become a place of fraternity. Finally, Pope Francis appealed to the children to oppose an attitude of indifference with an attitude of caring, inviting them to always care about the fate of our planet and your fellow human beings, and about the future that opens up before us, so that it may truly be, as God dreams it for all, a future of peace and beauty for all humanity. I'm Christopher Wells.
Israel launched a drone strike on an army base in the central Iranian city of Isfahan, just days after Iran directly carried out a massive attack on Israeli territory. In response, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has reiterated the importance of de-escalation in the Middle East. Nathan Morley has the latest.
Though Israel has not officially commented, the strike is thought to be in response to Iran's attack on Israel last weekend. However, it appears to have been limited in scope, with no casualties or major damage reported. Iranian television cited unconfirmed reports of explosions in the central province of Isfahan, but toned down reports of an attack. The area is home to a substantial airbase, a missile production factory, and several nuclear facilities. Speaking at the G7 meeting in Italy, the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, has called for a de-escalation.
We're committed to Israel's security. We're also committed to de-escalating, to trying to bring this tension to a close.
Iran has been on full alert in the wake of Israel promising to respond to Iran's extraordinary missile and drone attack, which hit Israel on Saturday night. Meanwhile, the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, has said it's high time to stop the dangerous cycle of retaliation in the Middle East. Elsewhere, a resolution to grant full UN member status to a state of Palestine has been vetoed by the United States at a meeting of the Security Council. 12 members voted in favor, including 3 American allies, France, Japan, and South Korea. The UK and Switzerland abstained. The US Deputy Ambassador to the UN, Robert Woods, defended the U.S. decision to veto the resolution.
It remains the U.S. view that the most expeditious path towards statehood for the Palestinian people is through direct negotiations between Israel and the Palestinian Authority with the support of the United States and other partners. We believe this approach can tangibly advance Palestinian goals in a meaningful and enduring way.
For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Millions of Indians began voting on Friday in the world's largest democratic elections, with Prime Minister Narendra Modi seeking a historic third term in office. Nearly 970 million voters, more than 10% of the world's population, will elect members of the Lok Sabha, the lower house of parliament, and the new government for 5 years. Polling takes place in seven phases until June 1st, as Lisa Zangarini reports.
Incumbent Prime Minister Narendra Modi is largely expected to win the election against the India Alliance, a broad coalition of parties led by the Indian National Congress. His powerful Bharatiya Janata Party aims for an outright majority and a third mandate to widen India's development and Hindu nationalist policies. Modi's 10 years tenure as Prime Minister has been marked by infrastructure projects, fervent Hindu nationalism, and an increasing presence of India on the world stage. But while India's economy is among the world's fastest growing, many of its people face increasing economic distress. Critics also accuse Modi of fueling religious polarization and say he has turned increasingly liberal, warning that he could use a third term to undermine India's democracy. The opposition alliance is hoping to tap into this, seeking to galvanize voters on issues like high unemployment, inflation, corruption, and low agricultural prices that have driven 2 years of farmers' protests. The alliance has promised to arrest the democratic slide it says India has witnessed under Modi's rule, vowing to protect democratic values such as freedom of speech, expression, and religion enshrined in the Indian constitution. However, the alliance is already divided, and after two terms, Modi's popularity is still very high. In the past weeks, church leaders in India have urged Christians to cast their votes in large numbers, saying that the country is at a pivotal moment. In a joint statement issued by the National United Christian Forum, they said the polls offer an opportunity to elect representatives who will uphold the constitutional principles of equality, liberty, fraternity, and prosperity for all citizens, and the affirmation of plurality and secularism. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Ukraine shut down a Russian strategic bomber today after the warplane took part in an airstrike that killed at least 8 people, including 2 children, in a central region. Missiles struck the city of Dnipro and the surrounding region in the early hours of Friday, damaging residential buildings, the main train station, and wounding at least 28 civilians. Voters in Mauritius are due to go to the polls in general elections later this year in late November. Bishop Jean-Michel Duron has released a letter urging young people to set aside indifference and get out and vote. Jean-Baptiste Tumosime has the story.
The bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Port Louis in Mauritius, Jean-Michel Duron, has issued a pastoral letter in which he calls upon Catholic youth to participate in the general elections scheduled for November 30th this year. In the letter, Bishop Duhone refers to the indifference of young people in many countries when it comes to elections, noting that many don't vote. He noted that young people, like other citizens, have a civic responsibility to vote because by voting they express their decision about who should lead their country. He advised the youth to cast their votes for candidates who demonstrate the values of society, the dreams of young people, and who respect the views of those who think differently. I am John Baptiste Tumusime.
Pope Francis issued a new apostolic letter motu proprio today, modifying laws governing the Vatican's judicial system. The changes regard remuneration and pensions for Vatican judges, as well as age limits. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has more.
Years of experience have highlighted the need for a series of changes to Vatican judicial regulations related to the professional dignity and economic treatment of ordinary justices of the tribunal, as well as the Office of the Promoter of Justice. This is how Pope Francis explained his decision to make changes to certain aspects of the Vatican judicial system at the beginning of his apostolic letter in the form of a motu proprio released on Friday. In the new legislation, Pope Francis established new rules in 6 articles. Among the revisions, the Pope indicated that the retirement of ordinary judges is now set at the age of 75, while for cardinal judges it is instead set at 80. However, the Pope is able to extend their tenure beyond these limits. In the motu proprio, which calls for respecting the principle of immutability of the judge and ensuring the reasonable duration of the process, the Pope may appoint an additional president for the judicial year in which the president leaves office, who takes over the position at the time of the president's departure. It is also stated that the Pope may at any time release from service judges who, due to proven incapacity, are unable to fulfill their duties, even temporarily. Subsequent articles specify terms regarding remuneration, end-of-service benefits, and pensions. The motu proprio also makes determinations about the work of judges with regard to civil liability. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And finally, the Vatican Dicastery for the Service of Charity has set up a new clinic offering dozens of homeless women free screening for breast cancer. As Sister Francine Marie Cooper reports, over 40 women received diagnostic tests and the promise of further medical attention if cancer were discovered.
Self-care is a thought that often does not cross the minds of people living on the streets. It's even worse for women facing financial difficulties who are unable to access healthcare services, sometimes even to wash. Since the beginning of his pontificate, Pope Francis has recognized this need. The papal almoner has created facilities such as showers, accommodation, and the Mother of Mercy Clinic under the colonnade of St. Peter's. On Thursday, the, quote, caravan of prevention was set up in the Vatican Square as a result of a collaboration between the Dicastery for the Service of Charity and Comen Italy, an association dedicated to the prevention and fight against breast cancer. The caravan will be present in the Vatican every 2 months to assist women in need. The caravan's location was denoted with a pink ribbon, the symbol of prevention and research on the most widespread cancer among women. About 40 women lacking healthcare assistance were able to undergo diagnostic screenings for breast cancer, such as mammography and breast ultrasound. The service was offered free of charge and represented an act of care for the many women living on the streets of Rome who are the most marginalized. If any of the women were found to have breast cancer, they would be assisted with further examinations and all necessary treatments. The initiative is just one of many carried out by the Mother of Mercy Clinic. Since January 1st of this year, nearly 4,500 healthcare services have been provided, including 115 dental visits, 350 laboratory tests, and over 4,000 boxes of medicines. The Mother of Mercy Clinic operates thanks to the benevolence of 80 doctors, nurses, paramedics, and technicians who voluntarily offer their time and professionalism to serve the most vulnerable. I'm Sister Francine Marie Cooper.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Patrizio Cibrari in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.